myself sometimes. I say have your way, but what I really mean is have your way in the areas of my life that I want you to have your way in. But God, may our prayer this morning be that you would have your way in every part of our lives. Lord, we would surrender to you completely and totally without any reservation or hesitation in our lives. God, that is our desire from Vision 2020, is to see you move in a powerful way. And the way that happens, Lord, is when we surrender our lives and our hearts and our desires and our wants. We put our fears, we put all of our dreams in front of you and say, Lord, have your way. Have your way. God, would you have your way with each person in this room this morning, starting with the preacher? Would you have your way with our church? Would you have your way, Lord, in this city and in this state, in this nation, this world? Would you have your way? And may it come through people like us who have said, Lord, whatever it is you want us to do, wherever it is you want us to go, however you want to do that through us, Lord, I am yours. Lord, maybe we'll be able to proclaim that to you because it is true that we are yours. Lord God, would you speak deeply into our lives as we look into the dive deeper into the idea of what it means to connect with you, with the church, and helping to connect others, Lord, who need to know that there is hope and there is life and there is love and there is liberty and there is joy that is found in a relationship with Jesus. God, help us to absorb these truths this morning, I pray. In the mighty and the precious name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team, praise band, for leading us so powerfully this morning. Sometimes I wish we turned the lights all down. I'm not sure I can dance. I'd be too worried. Somebody would laugh. But boy, it makes you want to dance for the Lord, doesn't it? Good. Four of you do. The rest of you, you thought about it anyway. Let me rephrase. Maybe some of you want to rhythmically move. Maybe that sounds a little bit better than dancing, right? David said he danced before the Lord. If we want to jump back into Vision 2020, I heard some great feedback this week. Thank you, preacher. I was so overwhelmed when I left. You talked so fast. I felt like I had tried to swallow a fire hose at one time, and you shoved it in my mouth and said, good luck. I knew that would be that way. It's hard to find a way to try to, and we're going to begin to break it apart, so hopefully you'll begin to catch some of this. It's hard to encapsulate a year and a half worth of hours and hours and hours of reading and praying and discussing and talking and sharing and trying to formulate a plan to put together. And so it's hard to try to put that into one big old package that you can get. And a matter of fact, we probably could have gone another 6 months and written out this nice 50-page thing that would have really laid the whole thing out. We began to understand that was going to be too much for us to swallow and said, well, let's just put the big chunks out there and let the church begin to embrace and understand it and begin to own it as theirs and then begin to implement it and make it happen. And so those that take ownership in the connect area or the grow area, the commit area, or the go area, they can take that and run with it based off the big picture items that we believe God is calling us to do. We want to do that. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse number 42. And while you're turning there, let me just read a verse to you this morning. It kind of sets the stage for us as we talk about connecting deeply. We begin to break apart the first point of Vision 2020. The Romans 12, verse 5, in God's Words translation is the translation it comes from. It says this, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. We are connected. We are designed to be connected. God's design for the church is that people would be connected to the body of Christ. And we're going to talk about and just run back through one of our values this morning. We've set three key values. We'll find that connecting is a key value because we have to have intentional relationships. We live in a world where relationships just don't come as easy, seemingly, as they once were. Neighbors don't know neighbors. Friends don't know friends like they do. We're so busy. Time to have that time becomes strained and difficult. We have to be intentional about it. And we have to be even more so intentional when we come into the church. But let us jump back for just a moment before we dive to connecting deeply. And let's read this scripture. And then I want us to rephrase or re-talk about the vision, the big picture, and then dive into connect this morning. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse number 42, says this. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place to the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions, and they were sharing with them as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together, connecting with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. What was happening in this scripture can be described in one word. It is the word transformation. It is the word of men and women in this upper room who had been transformed by the gospel, by the coming of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, they began to see transformation begin to take place not only in their lives, but in the lives of others. Remember the vision statement we set before us said this, is that we desire to be a radically transformed people, or radically transformed by God. I think it's the next, I don't know if I have that on that slide or not. We desire to be radically transformed by God into a people He can use to transform others. We desire to be radically transformed by God into a people He can use to transform others. Here's what we know. If we're going to be a conduit through which God can move and transform our community, He has to first transform us. We must put ourselves on the altar. We must surrender ourselves and say, Lord, transform me, change me, mold me, shape me. I surrender. Here I am. And when God takes those kinds of people and that kind of church is surrendered and is transformed and then begins to see people's lives transformed in their community. Why? Because it begins to become an outflow. It becomes to be something that is natural. And we see lives being changed. We see that happening in four areas we mentioned last week. The first area, the bottom step here, is the word connect. Connect yourselves to Christ and connect yourself and others to Christ and the church. Go back to where you were. We'd be perfect, if you will. Connect yourselves and others to Christ and the church. The second one is not on our PowerPoint, but it says grow in a deeper relationship with Christ. Thirdly, commit your time and your resources to serve Christ and others. And then go share the love of Christ with everyone, everywhere. That is the criteria. That is what we're looking at. Is how does this vision flesh out to be transformed and see our community transformed? It's going to happen by us each taking these steps, or as we'll talk about in a moment, taking this circle and this growth process and this journey we call a transformation journey. But in order for that to happen, we've got to have a DNA shift. There's got to be a DNA shift, and here it is. We have to have a call to connect deeply. A call to connect deeply, because we have to kind of add adjectives to our words these days. We just use the word connect and we go, well, I'm connected, I'm a member. And sometimes we think, well, that's all that's really required of me. I'm just a member, got my name on the roll, I come to church, but that makes me connected. What we understand is connection comes through relationships, not just necessarily by attendance, so that's part of it sometimes, right? But we're talking about connections outside of this building. And so we can be deeply connected sometimes, and maybe we're out for a month because we're sick, or maybe we're out because we have a death in our family, or we're out for some reason, and we're still connected because why? Because we're connected deeply in relationship with Christ, with His church, and with one another. So we're deeply connected, but we have to be intentional about that. It won't just come naturally. So what does this look like? It's a chart. It's a process. We kind of talked about it just briefly last week. That chart, if you will, Ryan, go to the next one, if you will. Jump ahead, if you will, the next one. I think it's the chart right there. The idea of connecting. We're going to the blue circle here. We're starting with connect. We're going to work our way around to grow, commit, and go. And we start with the idea that we're called to connect first. The idea here, you understand that it's movement. Our Christian lives were never to be still. We're never just to say, well, I finally arrived. I've gotten here. I can just kind of relax and lay back and chill out till Jesus returns. Right? That's the way a lot of churches are. Well, look, my family's saved. I've been in churches before where I would meet people and they would say, well, preacher, my family's saved. And all these new people coming in, I'm really fired up about that. I don't know everybody in my church anymore. But here's the good news. If you want to come back, it's fine. But don't expect me to do anything because my family's saved. Now, they didn't say those words exactly because nobody would dare say those out loud. But that's the way it was received. That's the way it was perceived because they were not willing to connect with those new folks who came in. They weren't willing to help others connect to the body of Christ. They weren't inviting anybody. They weren't sharing Christ with anybody. And so as a result, they were very content to stay in their little holy huddle until Jesus returns because their kids and their grandkids and their cousins, they all knew Jesus. And as far as that goes, that's all that they were concerned about. Now, am I concerned about my family going to know Jesus? Absolutely. Should that be your primary concern? Yes. But it goes far beyond that and far wider than that. We must make a call to connect deeply. And so we move ourselves around. Go to the next one. Kind of show a picture again of the same idea. Connecting yourselves to Christ, to others, and Christ and the church. Right? There's a starting point thing we'll get you to take. You want to come and join our church family. We did this in life groups last year, encouraging everybody to go through starting point to get the idea of what it means to be a part of Pella First Baptist. If you've not gone through that, we'll offer that hopefully in the next several months or so. We haven't talked about a date. We need to do that. Sewells, we need to kind of talk about that as I'm thinking in my brain as we think about this out loud. The Sewells have been leading this starting point class. We've got to jump into that. We've got to do our grow. We've got to grow in a deepening relationship with Christ. Commit your time and resources to serve Christ and others and go share the love of Christ with everyone everywhere. So connect. Let's talk about connect. Let's go back to that criteria. I think it's the next slide again. I think it is. Two things about the connect. Number one, we have to connect yourself to Christ, right? Connecting yourself. First question out of the gate is, are you connected? Now, connected would give the impression, the understanding that you know Christ as Savior and Lord, that you have understood what it means to know Christ and be a Christ follower. You've asked Christ in your heart. You've surrendered your heart and your life. That is the assumption that you are a Christ follower, if you understand that principle and you've made that decision in your life. But in our building today, there's several kinds of folks. There's guests, first or second time today. We're so delighted you're here. Maybe you're a Christ follower, maybe you're not. Maybe you're a seeker trying to find out about this Jesus thing, and we're delighted you're here. There are others of you this morning, you're a tender. You've come fairly often. Maybe you've come for a couple of weeks or a couple of months maybe even, but you're just an attender. There are others in the building that you're a regular attender. You've been coming regularly for months or more now. You're not a member of the church, but you've been regularly attending. Maybe some of you would classify yourselves as, I've asked Christ into my heart, but I've never made it public. So I'm not a member, I'm a Christ follower, but I've never joined a church. There are some of us in the room, the building this morning, you're a member. You've joined. Your name's on the roll, but you're not really deeply connected, right? Nor helping anybody else get connected. Now, some of you go even further. You're a member, but you're a life group member. You've gone even further in the connection, and that is you said, I'm going to be connected to a life group. But you're only connected to a life group to a point. I'm here when I can, but it's not really that important, right? And the next level of us are some of those that have said, you know what, I'm going to be connected deeply in my life group. I care deeply about my life group. I'm committed to be a vital part of that, of helping it see it grow and multiply and helping others get connected to a life group. There are all kinds of us in this room. And here's what I want you to see. Just like with these steps and the steps in our giving, we'll talk about it maybe at the end if we have time. Here's what the theme of Vision 2020 is. We just want you to take the next step. We just want you in 2015 to take the next step. When I'm asking you to jump from connect all the way to go and say, hey, I'm going to join tomorrow and go to Indonesia in 2 weeks. Right? That's not what we're asking you to do. We're asking you simply to take the next step. And for all of us, because in the room this size, this many people, 250, 275 plus, we will know and understand that we're just called to take different steps. So for you, you identify yourselves where you are. Where is your next step? The second part of that is connecting others, right? Not just yourself, but others to Christ and the church. Now, we kind of overflow into the go part here. This is where the circle begins to come back around again. The go to the connect. They kind of merge together in some ways. And here's what I want you to know. Our first call is to connect people to Jesus Christ, not to Pella First Baptist. Uh-oh. Did the preacher at Pella First Baptist just say that? I just said that out loud. Did you hear that? I am not interested in making more members of Pella First Baptist. I'm interested in seeing people know Jesus Christ. And if they go to Asbury or Pella Harvey or Carterville or Greens Creek, I don't care, just as long as they know Jesus. Amen? That's our call. Now, if they want to come to Pella First Baptist, then praise God. Let's bring them on. We want to make room for them. We want them to come and get connected. That's where God wants them to be. But if they can't, and that's not where they live, and they live in Hattiesburg or something, or they don't want to come over here, or they're not close, whatever the reason, then bless God us. Get them into a church. We don't just lend them to Jesus and say, good luck, hope you make it. We got to make sure they get connected. So if they say, Pella First Baptist is not my thing. Maybe they want a more traditional style. Then we got to find a church close by where they can get connected and plugged in. Or they want something more contemporary. We need to find and help them get plugged in. Whatever it is, we've got to get people connected to Christ first and then to the church. And by the way, that's not just the preacher's call. That's not just the deacon's call. That's not just a life group leader's call. That is a call on every singer. Yep, them too. Every single was the word I was looking for. Every single member of Pella First Baptist. Let's just take it even broader. For every member, every person who's a Christ follower, it is our call. It is our mandate. It is the call of God in our lives to connect others to Jesus Christ and to a faith family. And to do that, we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional. Sometimes that's easy, sometimes that's hard. Well, some would say, Brad, why? What's the big deal about connecting? Why you got, I mean, I can just join, that's plenty enough, that's deep enough. But what we want you to know is, again, we're encouraging you to take the next step. We want to place something before you that is challenging, that makes you a little bit uncomfortable, that makes and made us uncomfortable. You can ask anybody sitting in the vision team, where we started and where we ended up were not the same thing. As we talked, as we prayed, as we shared together, we discovered some very convicting things in our own lives personally, and the challenge for us as a church family. We discovered some things in the transformation church assessment that said, yep, we were right on track with what we thought. And so our intention is not to slam somebody or say, oh, I don't like that. What we want you to do is to go away going, all right, Lord, what is my next step? Where do I need to connect? Where do I need to connect more? Where do I need to connect deeper? We want you to be a little bit uncomfortable to think about it. So people say, what's the big deal about connecting? Well, here's the real thing. The question I ask myself is, are you captivated by Christ and the church? There are many today who are not captivated by the church. They're amused by it. They're entertained by it. They're content to look at it from a distance. But they're unwilling to get too close. They're willing to take from it, but not give back. Many are willing to attend, but don't ask me to go any further. I'm too busy. I don't need it. Too early, too late, can't make it, don't care. And we can just make the list on and on and on, right? Rick Warren to this statement, sadly, many Christians use the church but don't love the church. Somebody asked this question. We wonder why we have a hard time convincing lost people to come to Christ and join a church when so many who claim the name of Christ are simply a member and nothing more, and they only have their name on the roll. We wonder. See, here's what I pray and I hope. I don't know what you talk about in the community. Every once in a while, I might overhear you, and I would love to overhear you. I'd love to overhear you talking about what God is doing in your life and at Petal First Baptist. When you go eat at the coffee shop tomorrow morning and have that cup of coffee at Ward's or at Hardee's, wherever that happens, those little meetings that happen all around town, right? I know about the Petal Mafia. I know about that. And you'll have those coffee cups in the Shell station. I know about those things. Are you talking about what Jesus is doing in your life? Are you talking about what's happening at Petal First Baptist? Is it a thing that you want to connect people? That's a place you want to invite people. I want you to come to my life group. I want you to come to my church. I want you to come and see if you can hear and understand our preacher as fast as he talks. I want to see if you can get it. You know, you're excited about what God is doing. You want to connect people. It means that you are passionate about it. And here's the thing, and this people say, well, Brad, why are you so passionate about the church? Here's why I'm passionate about the church and why I believe you should, because Jesus is passionate about the church. Jesus loves the church. He died for the bride of Christ, he says. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew 16:18. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so when people say to me, well, being connected is not that big a deal, I just say, then you don't understand Jesus, and you don't understand the gospel, and you don't understand that Christ died for the church. And the church is the vehicle through which God brings world redemption. It's on us. We have the privilege of connecting. So is it a big deal? Absolutely yes. So why be a part of a church family? Why? What are the reasons? Well, let me just look at these quickly. Number one, a church family identifies you as a genuine follower of Christ. In each of these, underneath these, you're going to see there's a step here. You choose. You choose. I choose to belong. You step over the line. You're just not an attender anymore, but you become a member. And what we're saying is, being a member of this church is not what it used to be. We're saying we want to raise the bar very clearly. The bar so high that we say, you know, in order to join our church, we want you to go through. We're so committed to you being a deeply connected member. We want to require you to go through our starting point, Class 101 first, so you understand what you're joining. We believe in it that strongly. We want to raise the bar. Church membership, unfortunately, in many churches has become cheap and easy. And we don't want it to be cheap and easy. In fact, we want to make it hard for people to find Christ, hear me, but to come say, I'm going to connect and plug in. We want you to understand what it means that you make are making a commitment to Christ and to others in this church family, and that we make the same commitment to you that are coming. You choose to belong. It's not, well, I'm going to church, as if church is a place to go. It is not some building. It is not an institution. It is not an organization. It is not a club. It is designed to be the family of God. And the Christian life is not just always, it is about what you believe, but it's also a matter of belonging. Again, we've talked about this over and over again. People say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't have to go to church. And I just say to them, I said, well, that's like saying you're a football player, but you don't play in a football team. Super Bowl tonight, prime example, right? Or somebody says, well, I'm in the band. I play the tuba, but I don't mind that, but I'm not in the band. I play the tuba. You ever heard a tuba by itself? It's kind of a little funny, right? I'm a bee, but I don't want to be part of a hive. A soldier without a platoon. A Christian without a church family is an orphan. God intended for us to be a part of family. Secondly, a church moves you, a church family moves you and I out of self-centered isolation. And by doing that, you choose to share. Did you know by nature, all of us, to some extent, are selfish? I know that's shocking, isn't it? I know you'd say, well, I'm not, not me. Now, my spouse, now they are selfish. Or my children, they are selfish. Or my grandchildren, or whoever. We are by nature selfish. We like our time. We like things our way. We are selfish. That's just human nature. The question is, what do we do about that human nature? That's really the question. We look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Paul's writing to the Thessalonians. Listen to what he says. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, watch this, but our lives as well. Because you have become so dear to us. You get that? We want to share the gospel with you. That's huge. But we went far beyond just saying, all right, here's the gospel. Good luck. Hope it works out. No, we want to go far beyond that. We want to pour our lives into your life. That's why we feel compelled to do things like we're going to begin to go forward and bring food to students. We hopefully want to hopefully connect with some of those families. We want to connect with these families we're giving shoes to. Why? Because we want to share our lives with them, folks. We just want to throw something at them and say, hey, good luck. Hope you can make it. That's not our intent. We want to connect deeply with these folks. And it's going to be hard and challenging and frustrating and exciting and joyful and bloody and messy sometimes. But wouldn't you rather be a church that's doing that versus a church that's doing nothing? And just puts his hands in his pockets and says, well, good luck, pedal. Hope you can make it to heaven. I won't be outside the banner of this church, I pray. The banner will be outside is we love Petal and we want to invest in your life. We want to help you get connected. It moves us out of self-centered isolation, which we typically want to be. And by the way, you can't fellowship with 350 people. Last week, praise God, we had almost 350 people in this building. You say, well, I can fellowship with all those folks. No, you can't. And it's not possible. You can't fellowship with 100 people. You got to fellowship with 6, 8, 10, 12, 15 people gather around the Word of God, connecting to each other in small groups. That's why we do small groups. We believe it's biblical. We don't do it just because that's what we're supposed to do. We do it because we believe it's biblical. Thirdly, notice this. It reminds us of our need for each other. Folks, you need each other. We need each other. You say, well, I don't really need anybody. Well, you know what? If your life is going well, you know what? You probably don't. You don't need anybody. But I promise you, and I've experienced it over the last 25 years of my ministry, of people who had said, I don't need you. I don't need the church. But the minute a crisis came into their life, a family member got sick, they got a cancer diagnosis, somebody had a heart attack and they were in the emergency room, there was a car wreck, something happened, a death in the family. And you know the first people they called? They didn't call the Rotary Club. They called the church. Now, I'm not knocking the Rotary Club. I know I've got Rotary Club members in here. I'm not knocking the Rotary Club. Let me be clear. Love the Rotary Club. Love Kiwanis Club. All the clubs. Clubs. Great. They're good. You ought to be a part of them. I love when Christians are a part of those clubs. I'm serious. I really am. But I want you to know, they're not going to call the Rotary Club to come fix a meal for them. They're not going to call the Rotary Club to come stand by. I'll never forget the morning that I really got it. I mean, it was one of these moments, and I've had a lot of them, but it just pops in my mind of a phone call from a dad who's calling me in North Alabama, and he says, you've got to get down to South Alabama. My son's been in accident. He's 12 years old. He's killed. He's died. And you've got to get there. My wife, my ex-wife, is down there, and you've got to get there right now, preacher. I need you. He didn't call anybody else. He called the church. Why? Because we need each other. And in order for us to need each other, listen to me, you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to give up some of your desires and your wants and your comfort levels and your time and your energy and your resources. Why? Because we need each other. God did not bring you here. This is not Petal FBC Spiritual Spa. To put on your limes on your face and lay back and say, fill me up, preacher. It's not the call. Now, I do hope to God that he fills you up with the Spirit of God and the Word of God here. Yes, I do. But I pray that you come in these doors with the mentality of who can I serve, who can I love on, who can I help, who can I encourage, who can I help connect with. And then byproduct of all that is God just dumped on me in the middle of all of that. I get a little passionate about this stuff. Notice the other thing. A church family helps you develop spiritual muscles. Spiritual muscles. I have to then make a decision. I choose to strengthen or grow. We'll jump more into grow next week. But just suffice it to say what? That our faith strengthens us. I love that we're having some relationships, and I hear about this from time to time. I'm a part of some of them, and others I'm not a part of, but I hear about it, where people are connecting on a deep level, encouraging each other spiritually. You know what we all need? We all have days when we are terrible, terrible Christians. Oh, some of you are going, oh, not me. I always am a perfect Christian every single day. God forgive you for lying in God's house. That's not true. We know that's not true, right? We all have moments when we get down and we get frustrated and we get angry and we're defeated. We need somebody to come alongside of us and say, I'm here to help you. God bless this church family. We came in my life, my family, we've been nothing but a hot mess since we got here. As if God wanted to re-remind the Eubank family that we need Petal First Baptist. My dad diagnosed, in case you don't know, 3 weeks after we got here, diagnosed with cancer. Died 6 months to the date of his diagnosis from April 16th. You walked through with that process. Some of you drove up that Wednesday night to the funeral. Some of you came to the funeral the next day. I mean, even the search committee chairman from this church and the search committee chairman from the church I just left sat right behind each other. Now that was funny. Is Chris in here? He may have already go with his grandmother's passed away, but that was funny. I looked at him, I said, don't y'all talk to each other. Not at all. You know what that meant to me? I needed those people. Have you asked any of those people that came up to me that night or that next day? I remember Dee. I can still remember Dee walking up to me that the moment after my funeral. I remember the words I said to you, Dee. I said, now do you see about this, my dad, what a godly man he was. And I didn't say it joyfully, did I? I wasn't going, yeah. I could barely talk. Did you see what about? I mean, it was not that. I needed you. I was weak. I was a mess. We needed you with the unexpected blessing from heaven. Little did we know that she would come early. We've loved looking at the time hop pictures on Facebook and looking back to where she was a year ago. Still, this time a year ago, we were driving back to Wesley 2 and 3 times a day. We needed you. You provided food for us. My wife lost weight. I gained weight. You remember that, right? I needed you. We need each other. We need our spiritual muscles. Notice these last two. A church family will help keep you from backsliding. You choose to show love. Listen, it's hard to backslide when you're connected deeply. If you're really connected and you miss a few Sundays, now, forgive us. Let me knock on some wood here. Some of us aren't doing this, but maybe we realize this. Somebody misses 2 or 3 weeks, there needs to be a phone call made from somebody or a visit, and it's not this phone call, okay, or when they come back the next Sunday. Hey, man, good night. What's your problem? Where you been? I mean, get a grip. I mean, where have you been? Why didn't you come to church? Good to see you. Glad you can make it. You know, sometimes I kid, and I'm terrible about this too. Sometimes I'll say, hi, I'm the preacher here. Petal First Baptist. Good to see you. You know what we don't know sometimes? The people went out because there was a serious illness in their family. There was a job loss. There was a sick family member in another state. There was something happened in their own life. They didn't tell anybody. Maybe they were struggling spiritually. Listen to me. I know you can't imagine this, but there's some people who they feel so defeated, they don't even want to come inside of a church. I'm not worthy to come inside of a church. I'm not worthy to come to a class. Somebody might know something's wrong with me. But folks, if you're deeply connected and you get disconnected for a moment, when you're connected, there's somebody there to grab you and say, no, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to let that happen with your children. I'm not going to let that happen with your family. I'm not going to let that happen with your marriage. There's people to jump in and say, I'm with you. I need you. We choose to show love. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to each other like a loving family. We love people back into the kingdom. We don't judge them. We don't slander them. We don't share prayer requests about them. We love them. We connect with them. We put our arms around them. We get our underneath their shoulders. We carry them until they're ready to walk again. By the way, that's the kind of church people want to be a part of. A church family gives you the opportunity to share in Christ's mission in the world. You and I choose to seize the moments. See, we can impact by ourselves a small area. I can impact a few people. I have some people in my heart and pedal that I can impact. But I can only impact a few. I get the privilege of impacting a lot of you because we get to come to church together. But by and large, all of us, we can impact. But what can we do together? Folks, don't think for a moment that these families at Petal Primary won't begin to take notice that we care. We don't just say that we care, but we're going to show that we care. Are you with me? But we can't do that by yourselves. Anybody can feed all 20 of these kids? I'll just give an example. This time next January, our commitment is to take over the other children that this young lady is feeding because she's graduating. So we're about to make a commitment of almost $6,000 for the calendar year 2016 to make sure we provide food for these kids on the weekends. Anybody got $6,000 you just plop down today? Come on, let's go. I'm ready. No. And it's not about money because I can't pack all 50 of those every week, JR. JR can't pack them all by himself. But what we can do together. Can all of us go to Indonesia 3 or 4 times a year? Can all of us go to Haiti 5 or 6 times a year? Can all of us go to Shekinah Glory? Can all of us go to Toledo, Ohio? Can all of us go into the pedal every single week? What? We do it together. Together. And so in a few weeks, we're going to have a team of 4 people that are going to go. Our Pedal First Baptist is headed to Indonesia in March. You are going to Indonesia. Did you know that? Some of you are panicking. Ho, ho, no thanks. I'm good to go to Florida, much less to Indonesia. Thank you very much. No. Don't want to go to Indonesia. Don't feel called to Indonesia. Hey, but when we send these 4 to go, you will be represented by these 4. By our prayers, by our giving, by our support, by taking care of their families while they're gone. We will be going together. We share it together. I can honestly say I've sat by many of a person's bedside, especially in Alabama, not as much here, but back in the day, anytime anybody died, they had to have the preacher be there when they died. That was kind of how it worked in rural Alabama. So I've been by a lot of bedsides, and I'll be honest with you, I've never heard one person ever say, well, listen, would you bring me my checkbook? Never heard anybody say, well, listen, will you bring me my iPhone? I need to check Facebook one more time. I've never heard anybody tell me, would you bring me those trophies that I won? Would you bring me my retirement plaque that I got? You know what people want? They want their family and their friends. That's what they want. I pray, dear church family, that Petal First Baptist is not known for our size, our sermons, our singing, our strategy, our buildings. But they know this is a place where they can find love and be connected. That's what I pray. Oh, there's so much more here. We got to look at these last 3. Our time runs away from us this morning. Let's grab the next one. Ryan, if you will. Next slide, if we can. I just wanted you to see this just quickly. We're talking about worship. Connection is part of our worship and part of our fellowship. We're connecting into life groups. This is what's happened since 2011, where we're projected to be in 2015. We're projecting to be somewhere around 325, 330 for an average in the building for worship. Just want you to see this. The bottom number is life groups. It'll be around 225 to 30 for an average if we continue to grow at the pace we are, which is about 10 to 15%. Go to the next one. If we go about 10%, you can chart this out with the year 2020. If we happen to grow 10% every year, but the last several years we've been growing 15% or more. But if we just grow the minimum of 10%, that number at the green, the top number there in worship, by the year 2020, we'd be running almost 550 people on average in this building, which we'd have some Sundays if we continue to grow and God continues to bless and we continue to connect and grow and commit and go. Then in the next 5 years, we're going to see this building full of sometimes, can you imagine, 600, 650, 700 people? Wow! Preacher, where are y'all going to put all those people? Where are we going to put all those people? I'll ask you. in every nook and cranny and closet and hallway we possibly can. So what do we have to do? We have to do three things I want you to see. We have to have ministries aligned, that all the ministries fit somewhere, all right? In our Vision 2021, every ministry to fit somewhere. And this is key because here's where this helps us. We want every ministry to be aligned with this vision and mission statement. No matter what your ministry is, whether it's children's ministry or preschool ministry or student ministry, senior adult ministry, whether it is helping with greeters, it's helping with worship, it's help whatever team you're on, that all of us align under one of these four purposes: connect, grow, commit, go. And this is where these fit: worship services, First Super Sunday nights, family suppers. By the way, we don't just do supper because we don't have anything else better to do for people to come and prepare food up here. We do it intentionally so people have time to connect. 30, 45 minutes to sit and talk and share life together. Kids love it. They love to sit at a table and listen to their mom and dad talk. They love it. It's good. Y'all get that in a minute. Special events. Yeah, kids, I hear those comments. Special events. Kids Extreme, Trunk or Treat, Tailgating, Relay for Life, and others where we connect intentionally, on purpose, not just haphazardly. We connect together or we're connecting to our community. Class 101 is a starting point. So we all these ministries be aligned. Here's what this helps us do, folks. There are going to be times when people are going to come and say, well, we want Petal First Baptist to do this, and you need to do this. We go, well, but that doesn't really line up where we are. And so we're going to have to say no for that right now. Or, yes, that fits under grow, and we need to add this component of this ministry. It fits under the alignment of what we're talking about. Notice the next one. Targets to look towards. Here's our goals. I'm going to unpack these quickly. We want to see a 75% overall average attendance of our resident membership in worship. Right now, our average for our right now is 58%. So we're praying for God to do a miraculous 15 and then add to 17% increase. But here's the kicker about that. That sounds really easy. But as we continue to grow at that 10% number, right, that number's got to grow and keep up with that and try to go way above the 58, which, you know what that means? We don't have time to jump into all this. That means we've got to reconnect with some disconnected people. We got about 110, 120, 150 people who were on our roll that we have, they're not darkened the door in 3, 4, 5, 10 years in our church. And we got a job to do. We got to connect with folks. And if we grow to this extent by 2017, we believe, it's not in concrete, but we'll begin to plan this direction. In 2017, we go to 2 worship services. Oh, preacher, what's that going to look like? We're going to do this? Don't know yet. We just know that we know that we need to begin to plan to go that direction and not be caught by surprise. Here's our call. We want to not just react. That's not good. We want to be proactive, right? We want to be on the front side of the curve. Notice the third thing: establish a clearly defined process to move people from the parking lot to being a deeply connected member. So here's the visual, right? We've got 10 first-time guest parking spots. Some of you might be a first-time guest. Here's our vision: that we have a process that is clearly laid out, and it's not just, well, we hope when you get to the parking lot, you can figure out how to get in the door. Okay? We don't realize it, but there's like 9 doors you can enter this building by. Now, all of you know what it's door to go in because you either saw it or you've been here before or you're a member. And it doesn't seem any big deal. Do you know which door to go into? Do I go to the front door? Do I go to this door? And at 10:30, that door gets locked because we've got preschoolers, and so do I go this door? Which door do I go to? So we want to have greeters in the parking lot. This is going to be good now. You ready for this? Sunshine or rain? With a nice bright vest on that says, welcome to Petal First Baptist. Can you imagine you hit the parking lot and there's a smiling somebody with an umbrella and they're going, they're standing in the rain. What an idiot. But how cool that they're here to greet me, make sure I can get to the guest parking place. And now they go in that guest parking place, they come in that door right there and there's a greeter at the door, which we already have, and they're to greet them and hand them the bulletin and say, yes, they say, it's my first time here. Well, let me get you to our connection center. And right there behind where the sound booth is, that little hole right there was kind of a storage closet / throw everything in there. We're going to translate that into a connection center. So there are going to be some people there at a connection center who are going to know all about our life groups, all about our ministries, and can help connect people deeply. Not just, well, hey, our life groups are over there. Our kids area is just down the hallway. You can find it. No. So then I'm at the connection center, and I get Jim and say, Jim, would you walk this family down to the preschool and children's area, help them get checked in, and then would you take them to a life group? But then we don't just stop there, because we're going to go even further than that, not just in the parking lot, but we go, there's some teams that help us do this, and we'll jump on that in a minute. But then we take them even further. We don't just leave them there and say, we're so glad you came. Man, we hope they come back. Did they come back? I don't know. Did they come back? Does anybody know if they came back? Does anybody know how many visitors we had last year? Does anybody have any clue how many guests we had last year? Hundreds. How do we get them connected? We don't have a really clear process. It's a weakness we have. So we want to, all the way to being a member. Which means you're going to have to get some folks to say, you know what, I will adopt somebody that comes in as a guest, and I'll help them get connected to life group if they're already with somebody else. Help them get around that circle. Notice the next one, next two quickly. Create an atmosphere of prayerful dependence. And this is something we can't program, right? We're not going to have a prayer seminar. We're not going to have a prayer 101. We're not going to have, we're going to do five nights on, how to have a prayerful atmosphere. What we're praying is God works inside of us. We understand the importance of prayer. We've started on Wednesday nights. We're trying to reserve the last 10 minutes of our refuel time together to pray together. Every member embracing their role to be deeply connected to Christ and then helping others get connected to Christ in the church. Notice this word, every member. So if you're sitting in this pew, this chair, and you're a member, then that's our desire and call for you, is to be deeply connected and helping others connect. And maybe a full-time worship leader by 2020. Now, under each of these points, targets to look towards, teams to connect with. On February 22nd and March the 1st, we're going to have teams. We're going to have a connect area, a grow area, a commit area, and a go area. I don't know how we're going to fit all these areas in here. We're going to figure it out. And we're going to have teams. And some of these teams, guess what? The creative worship team does not exist. The parking lot and door greeters sort of kind of exist. The welcome team middle door does not exist. The follow-up team back door does not exist. A prayer team does not exist. Well, wow, that's exciting. You got a lot of non-existent teams, don't you? Yeah, but they're waiting to be filled by you. Because our other goal is that every member would be on a team of some kind. And maybe sometimes it's multiple. So maybe you're on a connect team of worship team, but you only practice. But you say, you know what, I want to be a part of a go team. And sometimes because they don't overlap, you can be a part of a team on all four tiers. Now, we want you to be serving on 50 teams or anything like that, hear me. But sometimes you can greet once a month. Right? You get the idea. So there's all these teams. So we're going to put lists down and say, I'm excited about this. I want to do this. I can see the importance of this. I really have a heart for people to get connected. I got to a church one time. I didn't have a clue about how to get connected. I had no idea. But I want to help people do that. They want to get you plugged in and creating a team of people to help do that and outline that process. Are y'all with me? Do y'all know if you have any clue what I'm talking about? Does this make sense? I hope it does. Good night. This is exciting stuff. So there's a ministry to align to, a target to look towards, and a team to connect with under all four of these areas. So what is it? Here it is, the next step. What is the next step for you individually? Where you need to go in your areas of connection in particular this morning? Or maybe you already began to pray about where you need to take the step up and growing, committing, and going. Maybe this is the next step up in your giving, from being a first-time giver to be an occasional giver. And maybe you need to go from being an occasional giver to an intentional giver, maybe from an intentional giver to a tither, maybe from a tither to extravagant. Whatever next step God is calling you to do, you would hear that call. And that call starts with that we desire to be a people who are being radically transformed by God into people He can use to transform others. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning. There's so much to try to cram in here, Lord. So many important truths. I pray, Lord, that we begin to unpack this together, that it begins to evolve and make sense. And, Father, people begin to understand and embrace it and own it, begin to be excited about it and see where their next step is. What I pray for each person here this morning, that you begin to reveal to them their next step. That's what I ask, Lord. Just that everybody begin to say, Lord, what is my next step? For all of us, it's different. For some, the next step, Lord, this morning is for them to come to know Christ as Savior and Lord, to understand grace, amazing grace. When I pray for them that they would come to know Christ as Savior and Lord this morning, they would admit they're a sinner, ask you to forgive them of all of their sins, believe that you are the Son of God, confess you as Savior, commit their life to you as Lord forever. Say, Lord, I'm ready to do that. For some, the next step is to come and join this church family. Maybe they're already a Christ follower, they never made it public, they've been baptized. For others, it's to connect with this church body. Lord, there's some others this morning, and they need to be reminded of a church family that will help them. And Lord, this song, Amazing Grace, will speak deeply to many. Lord, maybe they're struggling, and they just need to feel that grace of God pour over their lives this morning. And maybe somebody wrap their arms around them and say, you know what? I'm here for you. I'm with you. I'm walking with you. You can experience that amazing grace this morning. Father, whatever it is you're calling us to do to take our next step, I pray we'll be obedient to do it right now, to do it quickly. Father, do it immediately as you call us to do it. Whether it's to go across this room and to pray for somebody, whether it's to be sensitive to the Spirit of God as somebody comes up to this altar, or you're calling us to come and respond. May we be obedient right now to do that which you're calling us to do, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's worship together this powerful worship song, the great old hymn, Amazing Grace. Let's sing it. Let's respond to it. Let's do it right now, church. Let's do it.